You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Recently, I conducted a series of podcasts with investment professionals from Investec Asset Management in Cape Town, London, and Singapore. The theme was Investment Views 2020, and these podcasts are aimed at professional investors and clients of Investec Asset Management. Now, though, the company has allowed access to them for strictlybusinesspodcast.com. These are a valuable resource for any serious investor, and we will be posting two per day for the next 2 weeks. We hope you enjoy them. Welcome to this Investec Asset Management Investment Views 2020 podcast. Reinhard Root is the co-head of Four Factor in Investec Asset Management in London. Reinhard, thanks for joining me. Your strategy looks at opportunities in the digital revolution. And this time last year, you said the following: we believe an attractive way to profit from digital disruption lies in the picks and shovels firms that will empower change in the coming years. Now, it seems to me that the word revolution means that there is change, and a very rapid change as well. Has your strategy changed as the revolution has gathered momentum?
So hi there, Lindsay. Look, I suppose our strategies do change over time. It changes at a regional level, it changes at a sector level, and it changes at a stock level. With regards to the digital revolution and the change that has transpired in that space, I think that's certainly a theme that is affecting various sectors of the market and various businesses. And it's not only related to the information technology sector. So, what we have tried to do is to back those businesses that seem to be innovating, seem to be embracing change in the digital age. And we can see that within information technology, for example, some of the payments processes. We can see that within some industrial firms, such as a Honeywell. So I suppose the short answer is yes, but I do think it is kind of a theme that has quite a lot of legs, and I would expect more change going forward.
And are there more prospects going forward as well? Because as I said, because of the change and because of the rapid pace of technology and digital revolution, as you put it, there must be new prospects coming up all the time. So you must have an incredibly difficult but also rewarding job identifying these.
Yes, definitely. Look, I think, the first port of call is to identify, where change is happening. And then I suppose the second question is to decide what do you want to pay for it. Now we do find ourselves at a stage in the market where the businesses that are in fact innovating, that are showing earnings growth as a result of that, You do need to pay quite a hefty premium for that at this stage, whereas I suppose some businesses that are either slightly more cyclical or that are more in the process of adapting to change, they tend to, I think, at this stage of the market, trade at quite substantial discounts. So if you bring that back to, a sector such as information technology, some of the payment names, whether it's a PayPal or a MasterCard or a Visa, they've done spectacularly well, but you do need to pay well north of, say, 20 times earnings for those businesses. Whereas, if you look at a subsector within the same broader information technology sector, such as semiconductors, that's a sector that's been really impacted and affected by trade wars. You've seen quite steep earnings declines, but the multiples and the relative valuations are much more, say, palatable. So I would say it's not as simple as just identifying change and growth and going for it. I think one was also asked the question, what are you paying for it? And, if you look at where market levels are at the moment, I think probably there's more opportunity in the more cyclical, more value-rich parts of the market than in the more kind of stable growth change part of the market right now.
A couple of the sectors and a couple of the companies you just mentioned are very much old school digital, but they obviously reinvent themselves all the time. So embrace the new movement, if you like.
Yes, definitely. I think, it's very hard to change one's business model. I think company management teams are very quick to say talk about change, but to actually do it requires a different mindset, a different culture, and there are very few firms that gets it right. I mean, Microsoft would be the classic example where it used to be a very, very old, stable growth, or rather ex-growth tech business, which has transformed itself, and it's gone into cloud computing. It's now seen as a massive innovator, and it certainly does attract a premium multiple, say as a result. But it is something that's very difficult to get right, in fact.
Okay, let's put all this together now and look forward to 2020. Where are the investment opportunities or risks likely to be in 2020? And after that, we can go on to how you're positioning yourself.
Sure. So, I think if you look at kind of the next year, I think one would probably struggle to find a market observer that does not have a cautious attitude towards macroeconomic growth and geopolitical tensions and, say, corporate, say profitability. It's therefore quite hard to contend that the market is not aware of, you know, the risks that are all around us. And you can see that central banks have noticed that as well, as they now seem more willing to loosen monetary, say, policy. And that over time should, I think, find its way to the corporate sector. So I think while it's hard to argue for robust growth outlook, I think the betting line for slightly better news flow on the economic and, say, political front, I think seems slightly more positive going into next year. However, I would say that even if that view is correct, it's probably not so straightforward as to argue for materially higher market levels, as bottom-up earnings expectations still seem somewhat optimistic in some areas. And then, of course, we do know that global equity markets are, like, already, say, trading at or near all-time highs.
Okay, your portfolio positioning, again, given that macro example or macro analysis you've just given, plus the companies and the sectors that you have talked about that you've been in 2019, 2020 now, how are you positioning yourself going into this new year, which is almost around the corner?
Sure. So if you look at what's been driving markets higher, I think it has been the more stable regions, such as North America, the more defensive sectors, such as say consumer staples, utilities, and what has been shunned is, I think, the more economically sensitive parts of the market. Now, whether that's at a regional level, such as European equities, Japan, and like emerging markets, or at a sector level, within, for example, the energy sector, discretionary, and so forth. And you can see that at a style or a factor level as well, where, you know, the more defensive styles or sub-factors, such as low volatility, is done particularly well, that is attracting a hefty premium. And I suppose the more value-rich part of the market is say trading at very deep discounts versus its own history. So I think going into next year with that view, we would be looking for opportunities in, I suppose, the less crowded parts of the market. That does mean that we probably need to embrace a little bit more cyclicality. So I can see our portfolios probably moving away from North America, and I think maybe into areas such as emerging markets, China in particular, I think looks relatively interesting. And then at a sector level, I think at this stage we are quite cautious to kind of gear ourselves more into the more defensive trades. So we are hunting for quite a lot of opportunities as in the more cyclical parts. What we would like to see, though, is some of the rate of earnings downgrades flattening out before we go in more aggressively.
Reinhard, thanks so much for your insight. Reinhard Root is the co-head of Four Factor and Investec Asset Management in London. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.